This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports book is apparently open at Capital One Arena. William Hill officially opening the first ever book within a U.S. sports complex at the arena downtown in D.C. It's open right now. I got an idea. We can bounce off you, Danny, and maybe try to execute on a show today coming up at 12:18. So let's get to that next segment. But it is time for the Beltway Blitz. Here's the deal. What a day in sports. Welcome back in, G&D. I mean, this is what we waited for months, people. We got games everywhere you look today. 21 of them. All day long, starting right now at noon, going until tonight. Six in the NBA. They are tipping off in about an hour. Raptors and Heat. Wiz Pacers at 4. 9 games in Major League Baseball all this evening under the lights. 6:40, first pitch for the Indians and the Reds to get it all started. No Nats until tomorrow. And then 6 games in the National Hockey League. The Rangers and the Hurricanes are playing a qualifying round playoff game that drops the puck as we speak right now to get the whole thing started. The Caps and the Lightning play a round robin game today at 4 p.m. This is the first real Caps game since March. So let's get to the Beltway Blitz. Plenty going on with 21 games on the slate in sports today. Let's get it started with our buddy Slash Arini.
The Washington Football Team.
Sounds good, boys. Whoa. I like it. Chris Russell on the Washington football team. Reno, buddy, old pal. How we feeling about the Washington football team for the season as a name for this year?
Oh, you know, I'm all WFT, baby. It's the best out of a bad case scenario, and it is what it is. I mean, I like some of the branding, and I like the established 1932 thing. And I love the fact that they kept it burgundy and gold. They did exactly what I thought they should do and what I started saying on this radio station in early July, which was announce that they were changing the name, keep the logo, and change the imagery. And that's exactly what they did. So I would be a hypocrite if I then said, no, it sucks and I hate it and I can't stand it. I mean, I don't think Washington football team should be their name forever. But I think they did the right thing finally for this year.
Russell, this entire process is just bizarre, and I think, in general, I hate the preseason. I just talked to J.P. Finley about this a few moments ago, but this is a group that really needs something before the season starts to hit the ground running. A lot of inexperience, a lot of youth, especially a quarterback. How are they? Are we just resigned for the first month of the season? It's not going to look very good, and should we hold off judgment there?
Danny, I don't think it's going to look very good across the board, but I don't know if you guys remember, like, a couple of years ago, I made a report that a lot of people scoffed at. I know Blue Shorts wrote something up about it on the site saying that, you know, simple NFL team that I know of, and I know the Patriots are one of them, you know, treat September like it's August, you know, where teams have shifted to that because they don't want to play their veterans. They don't want to, you know, Brady was a weird beast, but outside of that, you know, even the great Bill Belichick treated August like it was not, you know, the preseason, like it was nothing, and September, like it was the traditional preseason. So I think you're going to get a lot of that. I think you're going to get a lot more uneven, unsteady play, more penalties, more, you know, sloppy false alignments, false starts, illegal shifts, that type of thing. Because no matter what you simulate in practice, we all know this, and we should know this. Even though people have different schools of thought, there's no way you can simulate game speed, game pressure, game situations exactly when the bullets are flying for real. So I would expect definitely a lot of sloppiness if we even get to week one.
If Dontrell Inman signs with Washington, does he make the roster? And if he does he catch passes?
The first question is yes, Grant. I think he does. I mean, even though he's well-traveled, I mean, very well-traveled, you know, Hatbag will travel with this dude two times in Indianapolis, two stints with the L.A. San Diego Chargers, you know, one with the Patriots, although he didn't play a game, Chicago, Jacksonville. I mean, he's been all over CFL. So, yeah, I mean, naturally, you know, you have to realize what you're getting here. But at 6'3", 205, 207, whatever he is, you know, with some polish, they're desperately looking for a veteran receiver to go and run those short to intermediate routes, those crossers, you know, the quick slants maybe, the, you know, the quick smokes, that type of thing, opposite of McLaurin, and to pair, you know, along with Antonio Gandy-Golden, who not only is a rookie, but also battles COVID this offseason. And now is, you know, if you don't sign a guy like Inman or keep a guy like Inman, he's essentially thrust into a starting role, which, as McLaurin proved last year, can work out for you, but you're going to strike lightning in that bottle twice. You know, so to me, this is, well, Cody Latimer was a dum-dum and got himself popped on five different charges, and Kelvin Harmon tore up his knee. So you had to do something. I'm surprised that they didn't bring in somebody with more of a, I guess, connection to Ron or Scott, somebody like that.
Russell, last year the team's defense was very bad. And I think people have incorrectly just said, well, they have Chase Young, that like it fixes everything. He'll be good, but you can't fix all the wrinkles. Besides right. Young, who's somebody that if he does play well, they might not be in the bottom four or five in defensive rankings this year and could really climb up?
Yeah, that's a great question, Danny. You know, I mean, when I asked Ron last week, you know, if he thought they had a championship caliber defense, he answered it the way I was hoping he would answer it, by saying essentially cornerback is a weak spot. So I would say this, the guy that has to play really, really well for them to be really good, I think, is Sean Davis, because he would allow Landon Collins to be more of what Landon Collins is and has to be in order for Landon Collins to be great. And I think he was fine last year. I don't think he was great. So that's one on the back end. But if you'd say, sorry, boys, I'm walking. If you take like the weak spot of the defense, right, and say a guy has to step up there, it's Ronald Darby. I looked at a lot of tape last year. He was close. He was really close. He was in position. He couldn't close out. He would just get beat on those 50-50 balls and just be right there. So if he is one more step removed from the ACL and all the injuries he had in Philadelphia, and if he's anything close to what he was in Buffalo, which I realize is a stretch, this defense can be pretty damn good.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Be well.
Thank you, guys.
Our guy's grinding his way through the quarantine, dropping Woo. Some LBs. We like it. Working hard. Let's move along to talk some puck, please. Joe Beninati, the face and voice of Caps Hockey on NBC Sports Washington, joins us at 1 o'clock today in about 50 minutes. Right now on the Blitz, though, one of his colleagues at NBC Sports Washington, J.J. Regan. J.J., today's the day we've been waiting for months for this. The Caps are back in action, round robin play against the Lightning. Give me a primer and a preview of the 4 o'clock tilt with Tampa Bay.
So the Caps are undefeated against Tampa Bay this year. They've won 3 out of 3 games against them. But the last time they played them was December 21st. And since that time, Tampa Bay has been – their trajectory has been up, and the Capitals' trajectory has been way down. So not sure exactly what to expect from both these teams today. John Carlson is a game-time decision. I think they've been very cautious with him. I as much as we keep saying that these games matter, and they do, seeding is important. Todd Reirden has reiterated that they're not going to do anything to hamper his recovery from whatever injury he may have. So I think if they're at all worried about it, I don't think he's going to play, because they could lose all three of these games and still be in a good position for the playoffs. So we'll have to see. I think if he does play, it's a good indication that everything is fine. And if he doesn't, I don't think it's the end of the world. I just think they're being very cautious with him. But two teams on different trajectories, but that was a long, long time. December is a long time ago. A long time ago. That feels like a complete lifetime ago at this point. So really interested to see what these two teams look like in their first game action.
Australian comedian Jim Jefferies, Reagan, refresh us. We haven't seen the Capitals in months and months and months, as you alluded to. What needed to be cleaned up from the time that they played last and is going to be key for them going forward if they're going to make a run?
Well, the defense was the biggest issue. Defense, you know, a lot of people were talking about the goaltending, how Braden Holtby struggled, and he did. He needs to be better, that's for sure. But even down the stretch, Ilya Samsonov was 0-4-1 in his last five starts. And that's not because he was playing particularly badly. He wasn't as good as he was at the start of the season. It's just that the defense in front of him was completely collapsing. That defense just had no confidence. They looked like they were getting destroyed. They were making wrong reads. They weren't in the right position. They just were a mess at that point. So the reset, the pause gave them a chance to reset. That could be beneficial for them. That was the biggest issue. That is what they had to clean up. Now they have Brendan Dillon, and now they have potentially a healthy Michael Kempney. We keep hearing he's healthy, and if he is, then they basically added a top pair player. So that could be a huge benefit for them. So I do expect them to be better. They certainly looked more confident in the game against Carolina, and then Carolina went out and destroyed the New York Rangers in game one. So I expect them to look better, but Tampa Bay is quite the test for a team that is a question mark on defense.
So if Carlson does play today, what do you expect the pairs to be?
If Carlson plays today, it would be Kempney Carlson on the top pair, Brendan Dillon and Dmitry Orlov on the right side on the second pair, and then I expect Jonas Siegenthaler and Nick Jensen as the third pair. And if John Carlson doesn't play, I mean, they've had a hard time finding a right defenseman to play behind him all season. So if he doesn't play, that Radko Gudas, I assume, would come in because he's a right defenseman. But I guess they would go with Orlov Dillon as their top pair at that point. But that the problem is that he's not just their best defenseman. He's also a right defenseman. And this team just doesn't have enough top four right defensemen. They have one. That's it. So if you lose him, that's a big blow.
Troubled UFC heavyweight John Bones Jones, Reagan. What's wrong with the power player? What was wrong with it? And do you anticipate it being better here as they hit the ground running?
So the power play, there was a lot of issues with the power play. One was the transition into the zone. Just once the power play got out of the zone, they couldn't get the puck back in. That was a major issue. And then once they got in, they were too slow with the puck. They weren't making quick reads. You know, a power play is at its best. They're literally shorthanded. They have one less player on the ice than you do. So if you keep the puck moving quickly, they can't keep up with you. The Caps are just plodding and slow and not making quick decisions. Will that be better? I mean, so much of the power play is about timing, and that's what you lose the most of during a long layoff. So will it be better right away? Probably not. And it looked terrible on Wednesday against the Carolina Hurricanes in the exhibition. So will it be better? Probably not right away. But from what we've seen in the first few games, they should probably expect 6-7 opportunities because these have been very sloppy games so far and the refs are calling everything. So they should get a lot of opportunities early on, I would think. So we're going to see real quick if they're better or if they get better over time.
JJ Regan, NBC Sports Washington. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, guys.
I'm just thrilled we're talking hockey. The Caps play at 4 o'clock, less than 4 hours from right now. G&D on the Fan. This hour, Major League Baseball trying to figure out what to do with the Cardinals as their case count grows. Rob Manfred says he's not a quitter. What does that mean exactly? Plus, Aaron Judge hits a homer every time he swings his bat. But next, there is a sports book at an arena for the first time in the history of this country. And it's right here in D.C. at Capital One Arena. And it is open as of today. Let's talk about that next on the Fan. Danny, you can add this to the list of the things the coronavirus has ruined, probably. But you and I have covered, not in any beat capacity and not all that closely, but like we cover anything on this show, as stories come out, as news trickles out that our listeners care about, the development of sports betting all over the country, and the fact, as we talked about initially years ago, it felt like we were decades away, but eventually you're going to be able to go to Capital One Arena and make bets. You're going to be able to bet on sports in Washington, D.C., and we talked about this, and for a while it just seemed like it was going to college, you know, when you're in middle school or something like that. Like,
right.
One day it'll be possible, way off in the future. Well, today, there is an open sports book in the nation's capital right now where you can bet on sports with the 21 games that are going on all over the country today. And at the William Hill Sportsbook, I got this press release from Monumental Sports this morning, they have officially opened the first ever book within a U.S. sports complex. It is at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C., and you can imagine how important that is to Ted Leonsis to be the first owner who can now claim at COA inside Washington, D.C. is the first ever sports venue that has a book. You've got racetracks all over the country, including in the Meadowlands, that have them. But they right now, it's not what it's going to be ultimately when you have you know, a restaurant you can sit in and watch all the games where the Green Turtle was because of the coronavirus. But they've got 7 ticket windows, 10 kiosks that are fully operational. They're following the CDC-issued social distancing protocols to keep their customers safe. But it's open. It started, I guess, soft opening this weekend, and today's the day. People right now that are listening can go bet on the Caps game as they play at 4 o'clock at Capital One Arena in D.C. And it seems like it's happening as a tree falling in the woods with nobody around. Like, I would have thought that this day would have been some kind of insane countdown in this city, and we'd have been broadcasting live from there, you know, and we'd be screaming about this at 10:01 in the morning, and it would be like a bell sounding on the stock market or something, and people are sprinting all over the place. Like, ho-hum, just there's a sports book in D.C. today. A couple of people will trickle in with their masks on to go make their bets. Incredible, man. It's happened today. It's a thing.
I overuse this example, but I'm going to continue to hammer it just as a reminder for how quickly this all fell. And all it took was a couple of municipalities going, you know, we could make a lot of money, and it's going to be made either outside of our state or we could keep it in-house. What should we do? Boom. Next thing you know, one domino falls. Now you've got just an absolute stampede to get this passed and to get everybody able to bet on sports. I mean, it had these connotations for so many years because whether it was mob controlled or, you know, point shaving and different fixing things that everyone was so concerned about. Go back to the Black Sox in 1919. That it had all these connotations, so everyone was so scared of it, they just clutched their pearls. It's a different time. We can regulate more. It can be done electronically. The whole deal. It's different than like some bookie with a, you know, with a newsboy hat going, I'll get you 5-1, and then like, you know, breaking somebody's arm when they can't pay. This is a different time. You can regulate this thing and make cash hand over fist. So the example I used was just a couple years ago. Tony Romo, when he was still playing, wasn't that long ago, wanted to go to a fantasy football convention in Las Vegas. And the league said, no, we can't do that. Now there's a team in Vegas, and you can bet on every game. Unbelievable how different this is. Unbelievable. But very welcome. It's good.
I'm excited, man. And until coronavirus ends, it's not going to get as much money from me, or it's not going to get the attention from me that it would have otherwise. But I promise you, if not for COVID, there's a 100% chance that me and all my buddies that have all of our little things that we do via email groups and all our little dollar bets that we do and text chains, we would have been there today to take part. And because of what's going on, that's just not going to happen. I'm not taking on any unnecessary trips indoors or what have you. But there will be people who do. Here is what I'd actually love. And this is what I wanted to suggest to you, Danny. I would love if we could get one of our listeners on the phone from there just to tell us what's going on. You got 7 ticket windows. You got 10 kiosks. They're following the guidelines if your mask's on. Either you're already going there, maybe. I'm sure there are diehard sports fans that are on their way there, maybe in the neighborhood. But if you're right around the arena downtown and you'd be willing to be the first ever G&D listener to give us a little live report from the first ever sports book within a U.S. sports complex at Capital One Arena in D.C., it would be awesome to hear from somebody if we could get someone on today before 2 o'clock to go in and maybe while they're making their bet talk to us about, you know, what's going on and what the experience is like. 800-636-1067, is the number. If you want to hit up Dar, you can either tweet me at Grant H. Paulson, Danny at Funny Danny, if you want to volunteer if you're going over there. But wouldn't that be cool to have someone just give us a little field report? I mean, in normal times, maybe like, you know, we got eight people around sitting around at the station. Someone would drive over for us and do it, and we could do it that way. But there's nobody doing that. You got Thami and Dar in the studio. No one else is allowed to be there.
They're
Everyone
stuck,
else is at their house. But if you are near the arena, you're listening in the city, you can walk over, or you're driving around, or maybe you're going there already, it would be really, really cool to get a report from someone on what's going on over there today and maybe hear you get over there and make your first bet.
So I'm not criticizing anybody or anything here, okay? I want to make that clear. I didn't sign up for any kind of newsletter or anything, but I feel kind of blindsided that this just opened up today. Like, to me, this was at some point it's going to happen, and then I feel like I haven't heard anything about it for months. Am I nuts there? It just seems like it opened. Yesterday it was closed, and today it's open. They just turned the lights on. Like, I had no earthly idea that this was coming. Maybe that's my fault because I didn't opt in to sort of, you know, voluntary updates and calendar reminders and messaging, but this feels like a big surprise to me. And I would have thought, just to your point, this is a grand thing, right? This is something that Monumental, Ted Leontis and company, really want to put over, and it's kind of their next frontier. I thought this would be a huge, like you're saying, 100
days. Well, isn't
it
just because of the coronavirus that it didn't happen?
Sure. I mean, maybe in terms of throwing a party, but like no digital, no tweets, no buildup to this. I feel like I would have heard something somewhere, somehow, as I'm sitting here staring at my computer for 10 hours a day. If I'm watching a Wizards game, there was no, like, starting Monday, place your bets at Monumental or William Hill at Capital One.
I wonder how much of that you're comfortable doing because you get annihilated by everybody who is mad that you're endorsing leaving the house, that you're trying to get a group to gather, basically. Like, you see what I'm saying? Restaurants have to stay afloat. So they're going to keep advertising, but they're advertising, please take out. We have socially distant tables. Like, I just don't know if you're allowed right now to say anything other than stay in your homes and wear masks without people getting really upset. So if you're out there publicly saying, come out to this venue and make your bets, I don't know how the response would be to that. And maybe I'm wrong, but I would have to imagine, if not for COVID, you would have had this huge party. They did a couple of cool things. They have original season ticket holders for the Wizards, the Caps, and the local teams. I think the Mystics and some other people that got to place, like, the first bets. But you see what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
I don't know that it's the time that you can go out there. You clearly can't have an event. You can't have a grand opening. So that part got ruined. So then what are you building up to? Just telling people, like, virtually, hey, come on over.
Hey, man.
And do you see any companies really doing that? That are like, when's the last time we had an event where we asked a listener to come somewhere?
No, you're right.
It would sound pretty bad if we did at this point, where we said, hey, we're broadcasting live from this place, come on over. You think people would hear that and go, oh, it's cool, you guys are back out? Or would they just scream at us for trying to get people to gather together?
It'd be the second one. And I am, it sounds like I'm being critical. I'm not. I'm just sort of expressing my surprise. I guess I'm saying, you're right that we shouldn't have an advertisement and, like, do a thing where it's like, come on down Sunday, and get half off your first bet. And everybody's in line and no one's distancing and everybody's mad. And you're now the center of an outbreak and the mayor's pissed at you and whatever. I understand not doing that. I guess I just keep saying the same thing, and I'm sure I'm being really annoying. I just felt like I would have heard about it. It's somehow that, hey, by the way, this is opening. It's not the initial design, but we're still really excited that, you know, the sportsbook's opening Monday. It just feels like it's just very, okay, the lights are on. You guys want to send out an email? Like, it feels very sudden. But that's beside the point. Who cares about that? Here's your big takeaway. Something I never thought I would see, something I thought would not be possible, is right there in the part of the city that transformed starting in the late 90s, and it's really cool.
Yeah. If you're near the arena, again, if you're planning on going over there, if you do it before, too, give us a call, 800-636-1067, or maybe even if you've already been there this morning or over the weekend, I just love to hear from someone to get a little layout and a vibe. I can read on the press release, you know, that they've got the 7 ticket windows and the 10 kiosks set up for now. It's not quite what it's going to be when it's all set and done non-COVID times. But I've got a few questions. It would be cool to just hear from someone on that. G&D on the Fan. Let's get into Rob Manfred saying he's not a quitter And that's why baseball's going to push forward. Very odd comment. Also, Juan Soto is going to be back for the Nats. We're G&D. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Juan Soto will play for the Nationals when they resume their season tomorrow. That's the expectation. After he was working out with his team, he was back doing drills. He was seen on the field this weekend. Took forever. You know, in my opinion, it just took too long because he'd been passing so many tests, Danny. But it looks like D.C. has granted him that long-awaited clearance.
It's an exasperating process. Now, and here's what made it more exasperating, if I may. There were a few people that seemed to be in the know, and they got mad when we didn't know. Or they got irritated at us for not knowing or understanding what the protocol was. So at some point, I saw one of the beat guys go, "Guys, they're just following the CDC protocols for Washington D.C." And I'm going, "Well, what document do I have to look up to decide that was the policy? Are they doing CDC guidelines in Cleveland? Are they doing that in Minneapolis? Are they doing it in Kansas City? I have no idea, right?" And it was just like he tested negative, and nobody knew what the hell was going on. I would have loved some sort of clear messaging, and I understand there's HIPAA. I understand that you can't violate confidentiality in terms of a medical diagnosis, but I don't know. It was really frustrating to a lot of Nats fans, myself included, not understanding what the hell the holdup was, right? Where all that had happened was he tested negative a bunch after what looks pretty clearly like a false positive, and there's some sort of city guideline. I don't know if that meant he had to talk to somebody. I don't know if it just meant he had to sit his butt down for 10 days and ride on a stationary bike, if he was taking Peloton classes. The whole thing was super irritating. I'm just glad that it's over now. Free Juan Soto.
Yeah, my understanding was, based on the waiver that was signed with baseball, that D.C. as a municipality was just going to have a different protocol for Juan Soto, who's taking the tests constantly and who we're able to know more about from a health standpoint than normal people. But they seemingly used the 10 days and the normal policy that they're using for everyone else. That was my frustration. I wouldn't have had a problem, honestly, if I knew from Jump Street, as soon as he tested positive, once he's cleared by testing negative twice, then he's in a 10-day protocol. At least I would have known that, and I would have said, I don't really agree with that. If we know he's negative, he should be able to rejoin the team. But at least I'd get it. I'd understand it. This was nobody really knew. Nobody with the team could figure this out for a couple days, and then they did, and nobody in the media knew for a couple more days than that. And I think there was definitely some frustration with the ball club because their understanding, based on what they had discussed with DC, similar to what we're talking about, was that something else was going to happen than what actually did. But Soto is going to be granted permission to play from what we can gather, and we'll be back tomorrow. As the Nats are 3-4 through their seven games. The NL East standings are hilarious, by the way. You got Atlanta at the top, who have played every day other than their one-off day. Then you got the Marlins in second place, who are 2-1. They've played three times. Of course, they didn't take this seriously enough, according to the weekend reports, and were out and about at bars and just kind of living their lives, not wearing their masks enough. That's what's being reported anyway, and it was largely why COVID ran wild through the clubhouse. And then you got the Mets and the Nationals. Everyone's played different games. The standings just look hilarious right now. And I don't know how they'll make them up and get everyone to have played 60. I don't know if that's possible.
So it's when you see 10 or you see 7, that's the Nats have played 7 total games, the Braves 10. That can happen over the course of not when it's usually 10 and 7, but usually like you look at the standings in July. One dome team had no rainouts, and like the Nats always have like 5 or 6, and it's annoying, and they played a couple less games or something. You figure it out. It's really stark. It's really Jason Stark when you see 10 games versus 3 games. That just doesn't happen. And yet here we are. We've got two teams in the division that have only played 3 times. They played each other 3 times, mind you, and that's the list of games they've played. The Braves are on game number 11, and you know, the Phillies and Marlins are still waiting for the go-ahead from air traffic control.
How about the quote from Rob Manfred, by the way? I thought this was pretty tone-deaf and almost ridiculous this weekend. When he was asked about shutting down baseball, and my hope is that he doesn't. You know, I didn't want him to, so I like that he came out and said that he wasn't going to. But Commissioner Rob Manfred to Carl Ravitch, "We are playing. The players need to be better, but I am not a quitter in general. and there is no reason to quit now. We have had to be fluid, but it is manageable. I am not a quitter. He's talking about himself not quitting. He sits in the commissioner's box. I mean, he's like me and you working from home if we're telling Tommy or Dar something about, you know, how we're not going to quit. We're going to keep working. Like, yeah, we're sitting on recliners and couches That's right. at our houses. Those guys are wearing the masks. They're touching the buttons in the elevator. They're the ones taking on the risk. The players are flying around the country. The players are testing. The players are the guys that might get COVID at any moment. Rob Manfred's at no more risk than me or you or someone who's quarantining at their house, and he's saying, I'm not a quitter. We're going to push through this, as if he's at risk. I thought right. that was just such a weird comment from him.
Yeah, I made a bagel during the break, you know, in my home toaster oven. It's different, dude. Like, here's the thing. The point that he was trying to make gets lost because that's the only thing people are going to focus on, right? The I'm no quitter part of this. Like, I'll face down the hurricane. You are nestled, tucked inside your own bed, wearing your billion-dollar PJs, governing the sport from afar, very poorly, I might add, just given sort of the time frame. His point is right in that the players do need to be better. They've got to take this seriously. You've got an outbreak because one team didn't, by all accounts, right? And everybody's got to be better. Part of that, a lot of that's on Major League Baseball, and their testing procedures and getting these things back quickly and their protocols, how inconsistent everything is. So he needs to do better, too, from his pajamas at his little workspace in his New York apartment, okay? But no one's going to remember that he had a good point when he's like, we're all in this together. We're facing the exact same danger, said the guy that's very comfortable and at no risk. Oh, that really rubbed people the wrong way, and rightfully so.
I wanted him to come out and say, we're going to keep playing. We're giving this the best try possible. We knew there would be positive tests. We knew this would be difficult. So far, you know, knock on wood, we do have cases, but we haven't had anything serious where anybody's feeling very ill or threatening to have to be in the hospital. We're going to continue with what we're trying to accomplish here. But to say, I'm not a quitter, I'm not going to quit, well, it's pretty easy for you not to quit.
Yeah, okay.
As you're wearing your sweatpants and your T-shirt at home on your Skype calls today. If I was a player, I might have laughed at that. On top of him saying the players basically have to do more. 80% of them or something are doing everything they can. You know, 90%, whatever it is. Now, I don't know how they're living all the time, but I guess my point is, those guys, if they were to get shut down, that have done everything correctly, are going to have a grievance they can file. And Commissioner Manfred knows that. That's one of the reasons I think they'll just keep pushing forward, is because if you're the Orioles or the Twins or the Nationals, you're at a meeting and you haven't either hung out with your wife and kids, some of them, or you have and you've worn a mask all the time, you've done everything they told you to do, you got a grievance. If now I can't make money because the season's being halted that I was supposed to make because other guys didn't do their thing and you're now prohibiting me from working. I mean, you can get ready for hundreds of grievances if you shut it down. But that quote is one I think that'll be remembered.
I'm no quitter.
For a while. I'm not a quitter either. Rob cool. Manfred. Cakes is going to hop on with us next. I think Cakes is a little bit shocked
Miffed.
Or frustrated. Miffed is a good word. That I said earlier that James Hetfield was trending, and I thought he was a musician but didn't know much about him or why he was trending. And I think the fact that I didn't know he was in the band that he's in is very bothersome to Cakes.
Yeah, don't look it up in the break. Don't cheat.
You already told me who it was.
Well, so I've told you what
you said he's in Metallica.
I've told you what miso is a million times. You still think it's a cheese? So well, maybe you forgot.
I don't know what miso is, and I probably would have guessed cheese if you just asked. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll chat with Cakes from the Junkies next. All right, Cakes, he's going to be super annoyed, I think, this segment. Johnny Cakes Allville from the Junkies, longtime friend of the program, joins us now on Grant and Danny. By the way, top of the hour, 1 o'clock in 12 minutes, our boy Joe Beninati is on the show. The Caps are back. He's on the call, 4 o'clock today. They play the Tampa Bay Lightning. You can check that game out on NBC Sports Washington. Cakesy, how are you, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How are my friends Grant and Danny this afternoon?
Doing all right, my friend. Real sport. Capitals play this afternoon. Good moods all around, my friend.
That is fantastic. That's fantastic news. Been waiting a long time for this.
Cakesy, you're the good King Richard, because I saw there was a trend on Twitter And okay. James Hetfield. And by the way, this is going to make you really mad. Every time I say it, I have to look up his name because I keep wanting to call him like Kevin, and I can never remember his name.
You want to call him Kevin James Hatfield. You want to do that bit instead of Hetfield, right, which is his real name?
Exactly. So I know that he was a music guy, and the reason I thought that is
– A music guy. A music guy.
Exactly. He's a musician.
Okay, now, yeah. Yeah.
My thought was, I'm thinking, well, he's music. You know, you see a name, you can kind of file it into a category. But now I'm wondering, because it actually says right on Twitter, music trending. And maybe that's how I knew he was a musician. But you're a little bit of the good King Richard, because I had no file what band he was in until Danny said he was with Metallica.
Yeah, I mean, he's only half of the brainchild of, I would say, one of the two biggest rock acts of the last 35 or 40 years in the United States and worldwide. That's all.
No big deal.
Yeah. Happy 57th
birthday. He and Lars Ulrich basically, you know, created an empire, you know, in the early 80s and still going today, 2020.
So, Kicks, when this probably happens to all of us in our lives, right? Like, let's say you and your wife, or like you and a friend of yours or something, have like something that you've fallen into this rhythm and routine that if somebody else saw that moment would go, what? Like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Like, that behavior is so weird, right? Everybody's got these little quirks.
Sure.
Grant is a savant about sports information. He's like, you don't remember Orioles prospect Guillermo Vespucci from when I was 4.5 years old that I saw throw one pitch at spring training and then limped off because he twisted his ankle? Like, he knows everything about that. And yet, he can't name a single band and a single song and, like, is... It's like he's never heard
honestly,
music before. It's so weird.
Honestly.
But I take it for granted now.
Maybe there's one other, like, lead singer and frontman that's more tied into his band than James Hetfield with Metallica that I could think of off the top of my head. And I'm excluding the Rolling Stones from this. Maybe Ozzy Osbourne with Black Sabbath is as identifiable as James Hetfield is with Metallica. Maybe. But that's about where the list ends.
Cakes, you want me to blow you away right now?
I would love to be blown away.
Here's what, when you say Ozzy and Black Sabbath, here's what I say. Ready?
Okay, yes.
Generals gather by the masses.
Wow, that is blowing my skirt up, because I had no idea that you had that in your repertoire. I give you a golf clap for that, Mr. Paulson.
Now, I don't know what the next line is, but I know that one.
Hey, all you need to know is a little bit of lyrics here and there, my friend. You're killing it.
Do you have any questions that you might want to ask me as a metal savant,
savant,
a guru of all things music?
I mean, if you don't know that James Hetfield is the lead singer of Metallica, I'm really gonna have to dumb these down a bit. One that I came up with off the top of my head. Can you name the British rock/metal act that features a drummer that lost his arm in a car accident? They have a one-armed drummer, Grant Paulson. Can you name that
incredible
band?
They're
He's
British.
Very good, yes.
You say they're British?
They are British, yes. They're Brits.
The Kinks.
Hysteria. The Kinks.
Are
That's
they
his
part
guess
of
for everything.
Are they British Invasion?
They are animals.
They're post-British Invasion. I'm guessing British Invasion, pretty much Beatles, that era. They're post-Beatles, my friend.
Pour
All
some
right.
sugar.
Give me a multiple choice, Cakes. Give me a multiple choice.
All right. I'll give you a multiple choice here. You can either choose from A, Iron Maiden, B, Judas Priest, C, Motley Crue, D, Def Leppard.
A, Iron Maiden, final answer.
Oh, my God.
Your final answer is incorrect, sir. That would be Def Leppard.
Oh, silly.
And their drummer is Rick Allen. He lost his car in a car accident where I believe he drove his Corvette into a wall in the English countryside at about 90 miles per hour.
Did Iron Maiden have, like, somebody with one limb, too?
To my knowledge, they do not.
I don't think so.
But I will have to double-check on that.
All right. I thought, what if I taught Cakes a thing or two?
You have
like
to look
their
it up.
Lead singer had one arm or something like that. All right, give me one more, Cakesy. Let me redeem myself.
All right, this I think is a softball. this 80s hair metal band in their prime. They're now featured in a Geico commercial. Can you name the band?
They are.
This band is featured in a Geico commercial that's getting heavy airplay of late.
Are they still around?
They are still around. They're still touring. Only two original members, but still touring under the same moniker.
AC/DC.
Incorrect, sir.
Right,
have you ever heard of an 80s glam rock outfit
named
Rat? I just gave it Rat.
Well, that's not a softball. I've never even heard of that band.
They go round and round, Jeeves.
You've never heard of Rat?
Honest to God, this is not a bit. This is not me being funny. I've literally, that sounds like you're making it up. Like, if you gave me a multiple choice, I'd say, okay, Rat is the band that he's making up, so I'll eliminate that one. That's definitely
Danny, to steal a Mike Myers bit from way back when, I'm getting a little verklempt here. I'm getting verklempt.
Don't come amongst yourselves. Casey, I have to ask you this. You would have been the exact right age. Did you have tickets? Were you at Robert F. Kennedy Stadium with Guns N' Roses and Metallica on the tour?
I was not, Danny. I don't know why I missed such a bonanza of hair metal and rock and metal goodness, but I missed the Guns N' Roses and Metallica pairing, I'm sad to say.
So, Jeeps, this was like the mega tour, right? This was the thing. This was the two gods of rock at that point. This is like after Use Your Illusion comes out. Metallica's been crushing it for 15 years. They're in Montreal. Or as our buddy Ben Rebby would say, Montreal, Quebec, Canada. They're up there in Montreal, right? Hetfield standing in the wrong spot. Doesn't know it. The music's blaring. It's loud. They got pyrotechnics. A strontium burst in excess of 1,000 degrees flares up and just cooks the entire side of his body. Total shebangus, right?
Wow.
So Metallica's got to get off stage. Toot sweet, right? They got to get the hell off of there. Axl Rose wouldn't take the stage. They were co-headlining. He wouldn't take the stage to pick up the slack because his boy got burned. So
couldn't
you
be a good
riots.
Guy.
Couldn't be selfless for half a second, and they basically had to bang the whole tour because of it.
Cakes, here's my big music
deep
take.
With the knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my big music take, Cakes. You ready for this?
Okay, yes.
The number one band of all time and the number one vocalist of all time, Freddie Mercury and Queen.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, Freddie Mercury, just a great performer and frontman. Amazing vocal range. Gone too soon. Freddie Mercury is amazing.
If you ever are on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, R.I.P. Regis, and you have a question about Queen, you should use me as your lifeline. That's my squad. Those are my guys.
If I'm narrow casting where I am only, right. I'm only answering questions about the band Queen, I will have Grant Paulson as my lifeline. If it's about any other music, I think I'm going to have to pass.
Do you have any interest in a segment whenever, later this week, whenever you have time, whenever you decide you just want to waste 15 minutes, where you put together a quiz on metal for me and we see how I do?
That's a staple of Lord of the Zings, Casey.
I have a lot of experience doing quizzes with the weekend bits with one Danny Huha. So, yeah, that's easy.
All right, let's do it. Let's see if I can.
I can do that, and they will all be multiple choice, my friend.
Great. Let's mix some Queen in so I can boost my rating a little bit.
and audio clues. There will certainly be audio clues.
Oh, yes, audio clues.
You and Thom will have to get together to prep. I like it.
Yes, we will. We can do that. We can put our bald heads together and make it happen.
Cakesy, thank you for joining us. I'm sorry that I disappointed you today.
Yeah, you know what? Put 57 candles on that cake today, Mr. Hetfield. Enjoy that birthday.
Indeed.
Johnny Cakes, Allville. Listen to him 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. with the Junkies each and every day. We're Grant and Danny. The Caps are back. They play at 4. Their first game since March. Face and voice of Caps hockey, Joe Beninati. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.